You can bring us back this time.
Okay.
Hey, little girl, your mom, she with anyone?
No, I don't know what that even means.
Anyway, well, we have a beginning of the show now, at least.
What's that?
We have the outtake for the beginning of the show now, at least.
If you were recording, yeah, that's
it. I was.
Oh.
Ow.
What's wrong with your recording?
You can start.
And welcome back. Oh.
Sorry.
I will see you in hell, mister. What kind of slipshod operation are we running here?
You could actually just kept going and I would have been edited out.
See, this is when we're not in the same, when we're not in the studio, when we're doing this remotely, because...
You can't see my hand motions.
I can't.
I'm counting in, but you just don't see it.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 70th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for May 2017. In this episode, we have a lot of Star Saga news and cover Mantic Open Day. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/C/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. Now on to the episode. And welcome to the next episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. This is episode 70. I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And we got some news, we got lots of pictures, and it was Mantic Open Day, so we got some other stuff from there. We'll go through everything, and yeah, that's about it. How's that sound?
That sounds delightful.
Sounds delightful. So we'll start with news. We do have some Star Saga stuff. They released pictures of the cards, which is kind of cool, like just some demos, I guess you'd call them, or what would you call them, just proofs. And it's the first two cards we have are Dr. Lucas Koiner and Captain Erica Dulinski. There's a lot of information on these cards, but I'm sure it'll make sense once you start playing the game.
Yeah. Just as a layman looking at it, it looks overwhelming. But we've heard from a credible source, it's a young rapscallion who did play testing and thoroughly enjoys the game. So I trust in him that... All of this wall of text here is intuitive and fun.
Yeah. Well, the one is the bad guy, so he's got a lot of like special rules under him. But the character that you play, Dulinski here, she looks pretty cut and dry. A lot of stats, and I wonder what the number on the side means. It goes from 0 to 14. Is that her hit points or something?
I have no idea. Yeah. But the fact that you besmirch the good name of Dr. Lucas Koiner is actually, you know, that tells a lot about you.
Oh, he's not actually the villain, you don't think?
Oh, no. Look, maybe a misunderstood, you know.
He does have a red background, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Down with all the reds.
And they also showed off another couple cards. It looks like mini cards that they use for adding to the characters. One's called Flexibility, and you can make an action before moving instead of the other way around. I guess usually you have to move then make an action. So there you go. And a first aid card. So it removes, looks like it, you can remove some wounds or something. Mm. There you go. They also showed a sample page of the rule book. Once again, looks very similar to all the other, Warpath world rule books. And, we'll see. We'll see how it is.
That has a back red background too, Rob. What does that say? What is your scathing indictment now?
That part is a tutorial. So tutorials are evil.
Oh, I'm more interested in what's under those big magenta boxes.
I assume they're pictures that they haven't done yet, like sample pictures. It's just they put them bright so that you can. Remember, hey, we'll see you in the final product. If there's any bright magenta boxes, we'll know they f***ed up. Look at that. I swore first. Damn it.
You did.
And there's also some minis that they've painted miniatures. The first one is of your hero. The hero of the game, it seems, is the good Dr. Octopus with all his very friendly it looks like syringes and lasers, and he looks very friendly. I'm sure he is the good guy of the story.
I'm just saying that we just can't go on appearances alone. I'm a fan of judging by the insides, and you know, him injecting you with special medicines could be a benefit to your character.
That's true. I must say I'm pretty impressed with some of the detail work. Look on the stripes on him. He's got like a black line in each side of the stripes. They must have used a pen or something for that, eh? Because that's amazing. Got to think the scale of it.
Photoshop.
Or Photoshop, yeah, you're right.
Just, yeah.
Who knows? And next one is the Guard Commander Graves. He looks like a stern good guy, obviously. Once again, he's obviously a good guy. He's looking at his dad. He's looking at his watch. His shift's almost over.
Whenever I'm counting down the last minutes of my shift, I always hold a weapon aloft.
That's right. Well, that's gun safety right there. Yeah, you're supposed to put it at the point of the ground or the sky. He's doing the correct thing.
Yeah, with your finger on the trigger at all times. That's gun safety 101.
That's true. In the future, there is no gun safety. Next character is Monarch. The Monarch. And he looks like the forward observer for the enforcers. Very similar armor, big faceplate, unlike most enforcers. And he also looks like he has a Dreadball glove on for some reason. Maybe that's his pastime.
Maybe he's going back to the cocoon to play a game against 21.
That's true. And he doesn't have any pride in his armor. It's all very scratched up. He should polish that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
His armor is scuffed, let's just say. And we also have Organic Data Storage Unit, which is a Chovar. He looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what... clearly, there's some built-on add-ons, like some aftermarket stuff, but the Chovar that we have does not have the level of detail on the head alone, never mind the horns, the ridges. So I don't know if that's just a sexual thing or a...
Might be a new sculpt for him.
A racial thing. Oh, I'm thinking in-game. But yeah, they might be just going, okay, well, they're sick of hearing Coach bitch about how terrible that mini is.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing. He's got horns. Maybe he's the male and the other one's female.
I like his feet. I like the tentacles better than on the original one. I liked the original one.
Yeah, this is 100 times better. Just proving their sculptor. I don't know if it's the same sculptor or a new sculptor. He's spot on now. Huh. And that's about it for the for that stuff. And it seems like it's all Star Sug all the time now. Warpath's coming out to general public in the summer, I believe. And then Dead Zone is dead to everyone, it seems. So maybe one day we'll get some Dead Zone news again.
Well, it is April, and we're supposed to be getting the second wave of
That's Warpath stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the Warpath stuff. So any day now, since it is April.
Yeah, not October or whatever that they're saying now. So
what?
Yeah. Well, I think it's actually, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows anymore? None of it makes sense. I read somewhere that they said they had to switch companies. I think Ronnie mentioned it on Open Day, maybe. They had to switch companies who were doing their work. The company went out of business or something that they usually use. So halfway through, they had to switch companies, and it was a big rigmarole. He said, I guess it's pretty common in China for that to happen. But
oh,
so that's a lot of the issue, is that they had it with one company, and then that company went out of business, so they had to start afresh with a new company. So anyway, we'll take a Mantic ad. No, what? Let's not take a Mantic ad. We'll take an ad, and we'll be back after this.
This whole show is a Mantic ad. We do it.
Yeah, we're skipping. We're not doing Mantic ads anymore.
They can sit this one out.
They could sit them out forever.
That's it. Done.
Done.
We've put our foot down arbitrarily without consulting each other, but we have now.
Dreadpath Zone. Dreadpath Zone is a YouTube channel dedicated to the Warpath universe by Mantic Games. Dead Zone, Warpath, Firefight, Dreadball, and Star Saga battle reports, unboxings, how-tos, and much, much more. Full of banter. banter, ridiculous dice rolls, and the love for the hobby. So go check out Dreadpath Zone on YouTube or Facebook, and remember, keep rolling eights.
Hi, this is Pat, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. And we've discussed a little Star Saga, so now we're going to take a look at the trials and tribulations of Mantic Day.
Yes, Mantic Open Day was on May 6th of 2017 for this one. And we had our roving reporter, Fisty Glue Man, on site taking lots of pictures, as well as Mantic posted a lot of pictures on their Facebook. They also posted both of the seminars. One was a King's War seminar, and the other one was just a Ronnie General seminar. And both those are on Facebook, on their Facebook page. So if you're looking for those, go there.
And Rob, I believe I've mentioned this before, but Fisty Glue Man's actually a glue bottle with little plastic fists glued to it. I don't think that is capable of giving you pictures of any type.
Oh, technology nowadays. You've been amazed what little glue bottles can do.
Is Fisty asking you for money?
No. He's providing a great service.
Okay. I still don't know trust.
So the first picture we have here is of one of the cabinets. It's got a lot of the Star Saga models in it. We've seen some of these. We just talked about some of them. But there's some other ones here, like the new sculpt for Wrath. We've got the dwarf guy. We've got the two other human heroes, what was his name? The guy from the short story?
With the burnt up face?
Yeah.
Fire Marshal Bill.
Yep, him and the robot, Robbie the robot, and some guards and some plagued out guys and the Chovar in the back there. And the medic in the front, we got the second picture here is a great shot of that, the new medic hero with his big bulbous head. It's nice to see another alien, and I do like that sculpt a lot. The paint job helps a lot to differentiate, but it's a really nice sculpt.
What I like to see there is the sentry gun, which hopefully will make its way into Dead Zone, because as of right now, I've yet to see anyone even use a token or anything, because no one uses sentry guns.
Yeah, there's a really cool sentry gun they have there. It reminds me of the one from Aliens. We set up. I think, sentry guns. Who knows? Overwatch, I think. You bring Overwatch back and have a sentry gun. It's the way to go.
Look. And then a nice big fat contract for Wayland Corporation to manufacture them, and then a little kickback. I think we could squeeze our way in there, middleman it a little bit.
Yep, middle management. And also, as always at Open Days, they have a screen with a different picture showing, and they did show off some of the nameless. This first one's like a, I don't know, how would you describe this guy, Jack?
I want it.
Yeah. He's got like a chitinous plates, kind of similar to, who has that? Well, I guess the stage twos? The stage one and twos, aberration, similar chitinous plates kind of. But he's all tentacles all the time.
Yeah. No, I think if Cthulhu was walking down the street, he would cross the street, not to cross paths with this thing. I like it. It's not the nameless I was expecting, but it is gorgeous.
Yes, there's no top hats nor monocles on this nameless, but he's pretty awesome.
Mistakes were made. Let's not go. Let's not say that. But barring the lack of top hat and or monocle, still a gorgeous model.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. And there's also a shot of we assume it's going to be the cover of the book. It's it's the big sumo wrestler guy, Asterion with the bird, and the dwarf being jumped by, I assume that's a nameless, jumping down on him.
I asked a young Tyler Schultz. I asked Schultzy what that was, and he called it a blight.
Okay. It's a blight.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have an expert's opinion.
Exactly. See, the three across the bottom, if you've played Borderlands, you've seen that exact same setup with there's nothing there that's making me even the least bit interested. But then you take a peek into the background, and that's when I was like, oh. I said I wanted to ride that thing in a battle, and Tyler said, of course you would, because it is awesome. So
cool. It's like a spider crab, I would say.
Yeah, spider crab, but
I wonder if that's what it is above. Do you think that's the same thing as the miniature we were just looking at? It's got the same face. That's why I was curious.
It could be.
Just a different angle on him.
Maybe if it was like leaping through the air, that could be because look at his little chin tentacles and the.
Yeah, the face looks similar, but this one has all the blight in the picture has like spiked feet, kind of like a spider, kind of. Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out.
I'm liking the looks of the Nameless, and when they get statted out for Dead Zone, they may become a fan favorite.
Yep. And the next one is a crab guy? Once again, tentacles. He's tentacled up. I really like him. He looks like a crab, humanoid crab. He's got the classic tentacled feet where it's just tentacles on the bottom, look like toes, kind of.
Yeah, that you know, it has a very like old gods look to it, mm-hmm. but the paint job, like I'm sure it's a fine looking model, but that paint job is so good. It's using every bit of that model's showmanship to really pop.
Yeah, I like the red. Like it's a really interesting choice. And his face looks like it's he's got, what, four eyes there? It looks like two faces mushed together, kind of. And he's pretty cool. And then the other one is a, you can only say it's a purple and blue octopus.
Yeah, but looks more like a sectopopulus.
You're counting the arms?
No, yeah. That's, I might as well just invite the King in Yellow into my house or start reading the Necronomicon. If you start looking too deep, you start trying to count these things, you're gone.
It's very similar to a Wrath of Kings model. I think you might have. Do you have this the tentacle guy that I think a little guy's riding or something like that?
I do have that model, but it doesn't look the same.
It reminds me with the big head and all the tentacles.
Yeah.
Another good choice. They also had tons at Mantic Day. They had tons of tables set up with all the different models from their ranges. And they had some plagues jumping over the new mule model. It's a cool shot, but you get a nice shot of the mule. You could see the scale of it finally. Remember we were complaining we could never see the scale?
Yes.
So now we know how big it is. It's pretty big. It's got the stage 3A leader on the back. And he takes up about a third of the bed, I would say.
Yeah, everything looks properly scaled for, you know, to assume that there's one person operating the vehicle from the inside.
Yeah. And I would say it's hard to tell because there is squares underneath it, but they're all broken up. But I would think he's slightly bigger than the 3-inch square. And they also shot of the, what's the name of this plane?
Is that the Hornet?
Hornet, yes. That is the Hornet. And once again, you got some scale on this one. It's probably just as big as the Interceptor because it's got some of the GCPS in front of it. And it's a big, big boy. I expect it to be a little bit smaller, actually.
And you know what? I like the look of the Interceptor, but the front end of this is just more my – it looks squat and a little on the chibi side, but for my money, I think I like that front. That
bulldog kind of – yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool looking. And we have another angle of that. We could see kind of the cargo area in the back.
Did you did purchase one of these, didn't you?
Yep. I think we're – if I'm not incorrect, I think we have a Plague one and a regular one coming. I can't remember exactly what we got.
Oh.
It's been so long. I can't remember if that's the mule or if that's this thing. And then we have the Forge Father vehicles. And once again, for scale, we see a Strider or a Iron Ancestor next to the Halter half track. So it's a good size. That would be actually about a 3x3 square where he would fit under that. And then behind it's the tank, which is rather large.
Yes.
But, yes, cool. Once again, I'm not crazy about the paint job, but I do like the look of them.
I like these, the paint jobs we're getting now From this latest wave is a bit dirtier, grimier, a little more lived in. I like that direction. That's more the way we do our romantic world. But you know, the dwarves not my dealio. So I'll take it with a grain of salt.
Very, very cool looking though. And then they have a great display board. It's pretty much a shot of what we were just looking at, but from a distance, big rocks and stuff. And you can see the three vehicles and all the guys around it and the striders. And it's just a nice shot of a cool looking display board. I wonder what
I love it a lot.
Yeah, it must be handmade. There's like a fort kind of for the dwarves. That must be just something they made for this, because that's not Battlezone.
No, it's probably, you could put Kings of War on that. You could put anything. It's pretty generic. It wouldn't necessarily need to be. I don't believe people play on it.
No, it's just for display. Well, it's a big L, so it's meant to be on two tables, obviously, which it is.
Unless.
That'd be fun to try to play on it, though.
Seams. I'm looking for seams if it maybe was supposed to be length. I don't know. Either way, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And the next shot's the, I think we've seen this one before. It's the yellow terrain. I think they had it last year's Mantic Open Day. But some Veermen running around. Shows off their industrial terrain sets.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. And then we got some people actually playing a Warpath on a large mat. And yes, you could see some cool colored interceptors in the background there. And yep. Everybody's using I think those are the Mantic official trays there. Warpath, yeah. There you go.
I like the bright blue Asterians.
Yes, that's interesting. Next shot, you could see them more. Very blue. And that's just some shots of that. Then there's a shot of a more burned out. I like the, I think those are, Warlord Games, craters, if they're not handmade ones, but they look similar to the Warlord Games ones. Craters are always good to have on your battlefield. But really nice use of the Battle Zone's terrain on these ones. And that's about it. Mantic Open Day. In his talking, he didn't really mention, Dead Zone too much, but he did, mention that they are starting up with Vanguard, which is the Kings of War version of Dead Zone, which is cool. So that will be coming out sometime as a Kickstarter, I'm sure. Right now they're doing their Terrain Crate Kickstarter, and they have added a sci-fi section, which is just the models, the parts that you're going to get in Star Saga if you back that. But if you didn't back Star Saga and you want some sci-fi stuff, get in on that Terrain Crate. And that's about it, eh? Is there anything else you'd like to add to the proceedings of Mantic Open Day?
Other than a bit of jealousy?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Everybody went and got and paid, I think prepaid for their ticket, got a free interceptor. We didn't mention that. That's pretty amazing. But it pays to live near Mantic, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
And we'll be right back after this ad. We'll have some more news. Jack has a long and winding tale to tell, and then we'll get on with our stuff. How's that?
Yes. And I will, I plan to do it in song. So if, during this commercial, I will be, practicing I'll be doing my scales. So anyways.
Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
And we're from Countercharge. Yeah, Countercharge. It's all about Kings of War. But, you know, when we need to talk about Dead Zone, you know, we flip around the podcast dial, and for some reason we keep coming back to Dead Zone, the podcast, with Rob and Jack.
Or Bob and Jake.
So, Jack, I hope you have your vocal cords ready, because pretty soon you'll be singing the saga. But right now, let's just do, we have another bit of news we never mentioned earlier just because it's a little bit of a shout out. It's a shout out to Coach and to Shane, our good friends, because they've been named to the rules committee. The rules committee had a little bit of a shake up for Dead Zone, and those guys are now on the committee. So we have a, we can whisper worm tongue like in the ears of committee members.
Yes, I think for far too long the North America aspect of the rules committee has been neglected in kind of a way that's been rectified, and I think between Joe Neat and Pat, the community Pat, that was taken care of, and I think there's going to be a vast improvement in the availability of people to bounce information off of, and probably a quicker turnaround time in FAQs.
Yep,
it's all speculation.
Yeah,
all speculation. I don't know, but
we'll see how long Coach lasts trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, I suspect the rage quit, an imminent and the.
Well, I think that the over under has already been passed. So.
In our pool,
that's right. Nobody picked over a day, so it was all within hours. It's crazy. But yeah, good luck to those guys, and hopefully we get some new blood into that rules committee.
And speaking of people being co-opted into rules committees, also Schultzy.
Yeah, he's supposedly going to be in the Wrath of Kings, Warpath one.
He's going to be the Wrath of Kings. Yeah, he's working for Cool Mini or Not now.
They kicked him out of Mantic, and now he's just working for them. No.
Warpath. You should have led with that. That's the big one. Yes, Tyler Schultz is now working for Cool Mini or Not.
No, supposedly he's going to be on the Warpath one. We'll see if there's an official announcement. We're probably not supposed to say anything, Jack.
Oh, well.
Luckily, nobody listens to this podcast anyway, so.
Yeah, if that's the case, everyone just shh, don't say anything.
And let us move on then. That's enough talking about those schmoes. Jack, you have an epic story to tell. I like to call it the Saga of the Walking Dead Prize. Please, continue. I don't know if we've actually gone through the whole story on the show, have we?
No, I don't know. And I don't know if I really want to get too involved in it. I can do a brief overlay, but
I think you have to go through the whole saga because it's hilarious.
I don't believe it's hilarious, and time has passed, but I can weave a bit of a yarn if we have the time.
Yes, we do have the time. We need to fill some space here. Please tell us.
Oh, okay. As long as I'm just filler.
Yep, then, you're a total filler, as always. Come on, let's be serious.
If we're just doing filler. Are we doing a shout out at any point?
Oh, we kind of just did. Do you have another shout out?
Yeah, I would just like to say that I saw a little something on the Twitters, and I would just like to just say very quickly and very succinctly, Daryl Holmes, you are 100% correct, sir. I saw your dissertation, and people might shout you down, may even call you a crackpot, but that kind of thorough and hard work in making a point, sir, you are correct.
Okay, then. So the Saga of the Walking Dead Prize.
Oh, the Saga of the Walking Dead Prize. Okay, so, well, why don't you pull up a seat? Y'all want to hear the tale of the Walking Dead Prize. I purchased for the show to do a little unboxing situation here. They were doing it wasn't the Mantic Crazy Box. It was called
Tasters.
Tasters. Yeah. The Taster. And so I purchased that, and anyone purchasing that Taster was going to be in the running for a version of the Kickstarter Walking Dead. Okay. Don't think anything of it. Rob sends me a message that says, "Hey, you just won The Walking Dead." And I wrote back, my good sir, I do believe you are mistaken. That is not possible. And, heretofore, I would prefer you not to try your chicanery.
I'd like to, since this is the only part of the story I'm actually involved with, I would like to say that the actual response was two words. If you call it two words, it was bullshit. I'll have to beep that, but that's all he put.
That's two for you today.
That's true. I'm a swearer. But yes, that was the actual email. I don't think I kept it, but yes, the actual email was just those two words, or hyphenated word, or one combined word, whatever that may be.
Yeah, so something in around there. That is when Rob forwarded me a clip of actually a link to the YouTube when they were doing the Mantic monthly.
Weekly. It was Mantic Weekly.
It
was supposed to be weekly.
Yeah, the Mantic bicentennially.
Bicentennially? I said tennally, didn't I? This story's going to take forever.
It was already a long story. That's why I really recoiled in horror when you said I was going to have to tell it. I watched it, and yes, my name is drawn out of a severed orc's head, and yay, I had won a Walking Dead. So
and this was in November, something like that, even earlier, October maybe.
It was a while, and
last year,
I received hey, you won. I said, okay, great. I confirmed my address, and then I don't know how long went by.
I would like to think of a montage where you see the seasons change and you're just Jack sitting on a stoop waiting for the mailman and the seasons changing around him. Leaves are falling. Then the snow comes and then.
And it's just me sitting there.
Yeah.
Graying in the temples.
Yeah.
You know, getting a just only moving ever so slightly to change to clothing to match the climate. Then finally my corpse, my desiccated corpse, like the end of Zardoz, you know, everyone's seen Zardoz.
Yeah, everyone's seen Zardoz.
When was that a too bold of a statement?
Don't spoil Zardoz. If you've never seen Zardoz, go and watch it. Don't spoil the ending.
Okay. And if you've, I have inferred that desiccated corpses are involved in, that is correct.
More than one, I would think.
There was, so anyways, so it became a running gag. I've mentioned it on the show a few times, and Community Pat was kind of appalled that Mantic had kind of dropped the ball on that, but that was part of the fun because Pat's such a nice guy. He was taking on that responsibility himself. So we go to Adepticon, and there was a opened box that was there that because they had been demoing it and everything like that. So there was it was just a part box, and he goes, here you go, take this. It was incomplete. It was more of a like a,
it's the retail version, first of all.
Oh yeah, but it was again, it was a gesture. It was Community Pat,
trying to make right.
Trying to make right. And that was good enough. Within, I don't know, a day or two, I get a email. My name's Nathaniel, and I'm dealing with the thing, whatever, blah 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 blah. So to cut to the chase, he asked me for my phone number so he could confirm shipping, and FedEx called me within a couple days after that and said, "Got you." And God, why is everything got to be a ball bust? Why can't anything be simple? FedEx, come on. Anyways, I'm not going to get into it, but someone's telling me I'm a business and I need to give my GST thing. And I'm like, he's a broker for FedEx and he needs to. And I said, you know what? I want it from a YouTube video. I had to pay $30 in shipping for, because of taxes and tariffs. Okay, I understand that. Well, this guy's asked me why this field was filled out, whatever. And I said, you know what, buddy? Keep it. It's yours. I don't want it. I'll be goddamned if I'm going to start filling up paperwork for you, blah, 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 blah. So and finally he was like, oh, okay. Well, you just have to send back an email that says we're allowed to work as your broker. And I said, okay, I'll do that. But this is it. So anyways, the next day on my porch was sitting the long-awaited, often joked about, and quite a bit bigger than I had anticipated Kickstarter version of Walking Dead.
Well, in the meantime, what about your boss, that whole part?
Oh, I get back from Adepticon. My boss is a huge Walking Dead fan. Huge Walking Dead fan. So I said, I'll show him. So I take it in, and he, oh, he roots
through. That's the one you got from Pat from Adepticon. This is the one you took.
Yes, yes. And so as I was leaving that night, he goes, hey, do you mind if I just take that and look through it? Because I hadn't opened up all the stuff in the bottom yet, all the counters and stuff. And I said, sure, feel free. You know, it's a part box. It's not like the full game, so you can tear whatever you want. People have already had their grubby hands all over it. So, you know, do whatever you want. So I left it there that night. The next day, he's like, do you mind if I keep it for the weekend? I'm gonna play with my kids. And I said, sure, why not? And then he just came back the next day and goes, yeah, I'm keeping it. I've stolen your property. Yeah. Because you're not getting it back. So I knew that was partly in jest. Partly,
yeah.
But then, like I said, a couple days later, I was like, hey, if you want that, that's yours. You can keep it. I've got
– Because now you had the real version.
I've got the one that had come – I don't know if that story was worth telling. We're regaling.
Well, we promised to tell it. That's why we had to tell it. I think in the last one, we promised to tell the whole story.
Well, that is the whole story
right there. Yeah, we did look through it, and there was quite a bit of stuff in there. We had plastic cars and stuff. And
Yeah, a lot more zombies than the other version. And, you know, it had like a plastic police badge in there and some other stuff that looked like it, you know, was specifically special for that box. So, and I have it. Still, there to this go. Day, I won't be.
No one's stolen it from you yet.
No one's stolen from me. I haven't put it on eBay. I haven't thrown it at homeless men under a train bridge.
Well, there's that. So there you go. That's the saga of the Walking Dead. Hey, Jack, yes. Not only did he finally get a Walking Dead, he got two Walking Deads, but one he was taken from a person who's never played a miniature game in his life, but maybe you might have converted someone.
He had never even seen a painted miniature.
Yeah, didn't he say, like, call bullshit on you? Oh, that was the third one. That painted miniatures. He's like, they're too small to paint. You can't do that.
You've got a potty mouth tonight.
I do. I'm tired this way.
Oh. Well, we could have wrapped this up about 40 minutes earlier if you didn't make me tell that story.
So that's a good story, Jack. Come on.
Yeah, okay. And now, yes, Nathaniel, you're doing a good job there. He was very – he was on the ball. He was took care of the business and, yeah.
Yeah, we hypothesized that he just was going through his old emails and stumbled across it.
I've done some investigative reporting and he took over the position from someone else, so there was an interim where some things did fall through the cracks. But that's neither here nor there. Justice has been served.
Yep, but it's showing that Temantic's cleaning up their messes of previous employees.
Yeah, I believe that person still works there. So
previous persons who used to be in charge of that section of the thing and now probably failed up.
Okay, well, let's not start. You've besmirched a Dr. Octopus. Now you've just besmirched a Mantic employee. Well, let's put away that wide paintbrush there, you.
Well, once again, they don't listen. Nobody listens.
Oh.
So we'll take another break. We'll come back and talk about our stuff. We were going to talk about it now, but we like commercials. Suck it.
Yeah, we like it. And if you want to get rid of those commercials, I'm sure there's a way you could do that.
Let's just not even mention how they can do it. Because I think we should stop mentioning Patreon every 2 seconds.
Oh, but okay, mentioning Patreon's one thing, but mentioning that there's a way to through Patreon to achieve different goals, is that still okay?
No, we shan't even mention its name.
What about the Top Hats and Mocks Club? Because they do deserve recognition for donating to Patreon.
It's true, they are our favorite people. We hate everyone else, but doesn't matter. No mentioning it.
Okay.
Oh man, that was a good roll. Hey Georgie, what are you watching?
Oh, I'm just watching a video on Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube.
What kind of videos are on their channel?
They have hobby videos, live streams, Dead Zone and Warpath battle reports, and tons of other great stuff.
Oh cool, I have to check them out.
Remember, that's Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube, the hub for all things miniature wargaming.
So Georgie, what's your favorite video on their channel?
I love them all so much. To pick just one, what do I know?
Welcome back to Coaching Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jake.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast, and we're going to wrap this bad boy up. We've had a harrowing tale of a box coming from England, and we've discussed Mantic Day, that was in England, and we've discussed Star Saga, which we don't even play. So
we don't have it yet. We will play it when it comes.
Okay, but now we're going to get into our stuff, and that's where we're going to showcase our love of Mantic's products and what we do with it.
That's why right now I wish that we were just talking about proxies, but no, we actually, that would have been a great intro if I'd be like, and here's these models from a different company that we're going to use. But instead, Jack, please tell me, what have you been doing?
I was being genuine. I wasn't trying to, you know, cause when we did that bit about Patreon, like not doing a Patreon commercial for all people, and that was kind of like a bait and switch kind of deal, but I'm genuinely a fan of Mantic's products and people who do donate on Patreon. I'm a fan of them as well, but right now, focus.
Whore.
Anyways, your stuff, Jack. What have you been up to? Before Adepticon, you did some things, I believe, that we never got to talk about.
Who said that? Whore.
What? I didn't... That must have been... I think we're getting some interference. I don't know. It was an EVP, I think. That
was... Yes, the ghosts. The ghosts.
The ghost of our podcast just was called you a whore.
Yeah, ghosts of bits gone by. Okay, well, yes. So, before Adepticon, I wanted to bring a kind of a fun, just a chaotic, randomy list. So I painted up the Stage 3A that came with the Warpath with the mortar, and I based him with the mortar, and then I rebased my other two mortars so that I could have a mortary good time. So,
and what I really noticed about this is the difference in size between the new Stage 3s and the old ones. Look at how much bigger that thing is.
Oh, yeah. It's drastic. They're not even remotely the same scale. I could, if I'd have taken an angle that didn't foreshorten as much, but you could really see, like, there are heads and shoulders above.
Well, maybe the old Stage 3s were from the, the normal, group of people, but the new ones were all, Swedish. They were Swedish giants that, got Stage 3'd up, so that's why they're so much taller.
Swedish giants. I like that they're red and gummy, and you just like eat them by the handful.
Mm. So you did those mortars because three mortars are very necessary in a freaking list for three mortars.
It was fun, and you know what? I don't know if I ever even brought them out of the bag.
You never used them?
Mistakes were made packing for Decon. I don't think
you used any. You didn't play Plague at all, did you?
Maybe in the early stages, but
it didn't last. You were playing Veermin, and then for the tournament, you played Marauders.
Yeah, so I played the it hurts still. It really does. That wound is still.
And the next picture is Rob Helford standing on a barrel.
Yeah. Again, that's the Stage 3 that came with Warpath, and they do have some real wonky legs. the models are all right. Like they have more detail. Like you can see the older versions, the faces were just kind of potato-y, and there's a lot more detail in the shoulders and in the arms of the new model, but they're much bigger. but like all good leaders, he had to have his foot on something. So, I put his foot on a barrel.
What's a barrel from?
They come in threes for the scatter terrain.
Oh, it doesn't?
Yeah. So I cut one off, and that's a mod right there. That's
I don't Professor recognize that, bro.
Professor Jack's taken and making. That's a 16 part. It is 16 installments of 1 hour. How to take things and make things.
Yeah, you should be doing that. And I do notice that those bases are your bases that you've sculpted up.
Yes, yes. And then the dog. You know what? I like the older plague dogs better. I think the one I got, fresh out of the mold, someone just picked it up and gave it a good squeezing, because it was pretty wonky, but.
It's a weird stance on it. It's both his front paws are together. And
his one leg was minuscule and the other leg was, I'm going to guess I got a miscast, and I'm going to reserve judgment on all of them. But if that is what they all looked like when I got it out of the package, I like the old ones better.
Yeah. And next picture with an amazing base is Weapon X. What is he, a Project 90120, or I can't remember his name.
Yes, 90210.
Yeah, that's him. But I really like this base, and I really like this model, actually. I like how you did all the striations in his muscles and stuff.
Yeah. He's a metal model. He weighs about as much as a Buick Skylark. But I really enjoyed painting him. I think at the time I told Rob that I really liked the level of detail, but also like the base is mine. I sculpted that base. So that's where I went with some flourish. I probably overdid it with the blood while I was doing the flourish.
Well, the guy he's stepping on, he's currently standing on a corpse who is bullet ridden, and the corpse is missing both hands and feet. So I don't know if 90210 decided to eat them, or he just, he collects them. He's got a little baggie on his hip. Maybe he puts his hands and feet in there for later.
I believe like his 90210, his hands and face are not bloodied, so I'm gonna say he's happened upon.
It wasn't him.
Yeah, like maybe he's saying, "Hey, make the area safe. Call 911. Who knows CPR? Like,
who did this? Yeah.
Guys,
we're trying to be respectable. Stop taking people's hands and feet as souvenirs."
Yeah.
He is a leader for the elite lists, which we will get to eventually on team building exercise.
Yeah. Except now the coach is part of the rules committee. Can't have him on team building exercise. So no.
Stay tuned for our new member of team building exercise.
It could be you.
And the next shot is you're crazy. I think you were on drugs. You decided, hey, you know what the Veermen need? They need a Strider. So you got little Billy the Veerman driving a Strider.
I would implore you to, if you're not watching this on the YouTubes, I would implore you to go to Podbean and take a look.
Deadzonegame.podbean.com? Yes. Check out the show notes.
I'm quite proud of this. I was happy when I did the Veerman on the jet bike, because but this conversion is nice. Now the picture that's there, it's not finished, but it's close enough. You can really see what I did to it. So yeah, I love me the Veerman, and I hope that they get the, not just a stat upgrade. My fear is there's going to be a lot of Poindexters, a lot of people who fancy themselves, game designers, to people who are crunching numbers. And my fear is there'll be a competitive list, which I never really wanted or care about. But the right now they've got the flair and panache mayonnaise white bread sandwich. And my fear is the numbers will improve so that they're competitive, but
no character to the list. Yeah.
Yeah. No character. Right now they're just milk toast. You know, the worst weapons in the game, the worst stats in the game, the worst everything in the game. And if you just correct that and still don't give them something that flair, they're still not going to be fun and they're still not going to be played. But in the meantime, I will sculpt and create and make the Veerman that I love ride a Strider.
So you took off the, what's on the one side, the flamer, and you put the front of the wiener cannon on it. And on the back, you put the little ball. Is that what I can see in that picture?
On the back of the gun at the bottom, there's one of the balls from the wiener cannon. On his back, the Strider's back has the ball, another ball from the wiener cannon.
And then and on hands, the, yeah.
What's that?
I was just going to say, on the other hand, it used to be the chainsaw, but you para-drilled it up.
I para-drilled it up. The dose drills. So
I do like how you made it where the connection is. It looks like bad weld jobs, like the Veerman just were like, welded on there.
Yes. And the finished version that I have now has where the weld jobs are, either has it highlighted so it looks like it's welded, that's like silver highlighted, or rust, or in the case of the brassy areas, yeah, along the edge of the guns and stuff, like at the front, that's got the oxidizing, it's got the patina now. So
nice. So there you go. Anything else you've been working on, Jack?
No. Other than getting that Veerman in there was a bit of a chore. I'm not going to lie to you. At one point, I looked at myself and said, "What are you doing?" No, this is the scale. I had to build little. There was so much I had to do. I was just thinking, why?
What's the point?
What's the point? Oh, and on the side of the wiener cannon gun is the top of the Maligni or Progenitor, whichever one of that rides the Tangle.
Yes,
it had that big axe head type thing at the top, atop the thinnest, most flexible piece of metal. Now I've seen people have painted them, and I know people have used them with it on there. I knew for me that it was going to snap off in about 6 seconds. So I went a different way, but I wanted to use that piece. So there it is. It's on the side of that gun now.
Nice. Little flourish.
A little flourish. And that's everything I've got accomplished for quite some time, because we're talking before Adepticon and now till what I was working on just days ago.
Cool. As for myself, I once again through Adepticon and all around there, I was working on my GCPS force. I took half of it from the Kickstarter. Jack has the other half. I went for a red and kind of grayish theme. And I for the recruits in the list, I had the open face helmets. For the Marines, I had the closed face helmets. And then for the veterans or the Rangers, I used Pathfinder heads from the non-Pathfinders in the old enforcer lists. Plus there's a few heads from the GCPS that didn't have helmets. And I think they turned out pretty cool. I like the red on them. It's based on the game, what game is it? Shadowrun, the isometric, like Hong Kong one. It's like a top-down kind of game. It's based on the old Shadowrun games. Video games, and they had a faction in there of, I think it's the Hong Kong police or someone, and they had this color scheme, and I thought it looked so cool. I was like, I'm going to do my GPS in that scheme.
Oh, it's very nice. It's certainly, it pops.
I like the red because everybody's so drab. It's nice to have some red on some guys. And I also did, I did a jet bike in that base. It was the back swept jet bike that I built for the jet bike races. And I was like, no, I like mine better. The one I have it way chopper style. So I had a leftover jet bike and I was like, well, I'm not going to need one for, my enforcers because I have like 10 of them. So I decided to give the GCPS a jet bike also in the same style with the red and black.
And you really swept those front forks back. That's like tight right up against there.
Yep. It's almost, it's like a bullnose. It's kind of fun. I like it. And I also did, because I hate the Pathfinders for the Enforcers, I did my version of the Pathfinders, which are the Pathfinder legs, Enforcer torsos and heads, and the Pathfinder, one of the Pathfinder arms, which will have the gun, the tag rifles, and then the other arm is actually an enforcer arm they made to fit so that they had armored arms. And I like them a lot better. They're my version of the Pathfinders. They look a lot more like they should be in the army.
And you have enough now that you could, like, that's, we probably won't be playing Firefight, but you've got quite the collection already painted up.
Yep. And I did with my, chrome and blue tones on these guys. And I also did Lieutenant Roca from the Warpath novel, and he was the special character from the Warpath game. He's in the back there. He's also in that scheme. And in that scheme, I also went for my new Striders. I did the Ajax Strider. And he weighs a ton. You think that he's almost all metal. He is a hefty boy. And I also did my gorilla strider, we like to call it. It's a strider with his arm down with a big rifle on his shoulder. And he's cool looking, I think. And I did that same blue and chrome style on these guys. And I did some edge highlighting.
And I think you're the style that you did that for a batch of peacekeepers before, but I think you better utilized it here, especially on the striders.
Yeah, I did some edge highlighting. They kind of look like Tron now.
I was thinking that that's what I was going to say, that they look like Tron.
So I did that. And I'm pretty happy with those guys. And I do like my Gorilla Strider. I think he's a nice addition to the forces. And then I also did my Forge Father drop troops. And I do my almost all of my Forge Fathers in lots of silvers and chromes and all metallics. So I decided to give these guys a little bit of accent. Their armor is actually, black with, like a gray highlight on it. And they also have, caution stripes on their shoulders to denote that they're the, drop troopers. And of course they have to have, bronze weapons. But, yeah.
Because that's the motif you went with right from the get-go, and they're...
Yep. And they'll fit in, but they do look different. I do like my caution stripes on their shoulders. It gives them a je ne sais quoi.
Oh, for sure.
And to fit in with those guys, I did have a Iron Ancestor that I built instead of, he's one I got from, Warpath. He has the one arm that's the two guns, and his other arm's supposed to be that hammer, but I hate the way the hammer looks on Iron Ancestors. So I modded up a, Strider arm, and I connected it to his, hammer and to his shoulder piece. And I think it turned out pretty cool. So he's got a real fist holding a hammer. And I think that looks a lot better personally. And he's also got the caution stripe on his shoulder. He's part of that unit, I guess. But I wish all Striders had hands. Or all Iron Ancestors. They deserve hands. And last but not least, I did my hero from Warpath. He's Ingolf. And with him is Pod, his dog. That dog model is amazing. No matter how you paint it, he always looks cool. So he turned out real nice. And Ingolf, he's in bronze and gold armor. And I did like a metallic red for on his, he's got a hammer that looks like a dragon. And his gun on the other side looks like I think we said it looked like a Skeksi, didn't we? Is that the guy? No, that was Blaine, but similar weapon.
That was, yeah.
And he pretty much shoved the gun through some kind of, creature's head. So both those are metallic reds. And, yeah, I really like Ingolf too. That's about it. That wraps up what I did. And of course, there's always more coming. I don't know. Actually, right now on my desk, it's pretty clear. I'm actually pretty happy. I have one more Iron Ancestor based on the, Dreadball one that I'm working on. And I'll show them off sometime. But other than that, we'll have to find something else to do.
You were quite prolific. You were, I fashioned a miniature Veerman to fit inside a cockpit while you did two or three full battalions.
Well, my thing is, on those hobby hangouts, we sit there for about 5 hours, and I try to get a whole unit done in that time. That's my mission. That's what those drop troopers, they got done almost entirely in a hangout. And same with the Striders. The GCPS took forever. That's a huge force, and that just took forever to paint. And I really got burned out on painting right before Depticon because of those guys. But I found my way again, and we'll see what else I have to paint.
I have some murder birds that are midway to completion, so that'll be next time. The next hobby hangout, I'll knock them out.
And we'll have to discuss your murder birds on the next one, because that's another saga of Jack. You have to...
Murder birds and bursters! Murder birds and bursters! Bursting all through the air!
Well, on that note, literally...
And that was a note. You can't deny that. That was... You know, I think if you were to need to ever like make sure that your audio equipment is working to peak performance, you just play a little of that and you'll know.
It's true. I guarantee it. Well, until next time, we have go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast. We did see a shirt in the wild, and we know people are buying them. So go buy a shirt because they're cool. And we have a lot of selection there.
Yeah, we've seen people have their nipples covered with it, and it was both flattering and it was just nice to see.
Yeah, and if you too need clothes, go buy some of that. Other than that, I think that covers it, Jack. It's been another episode, number 70. We're inching up.
Wow. It's getting up to almost time where we can have like a bash, like a real good, like an event show.
Yep. An event show. So until next time, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
Please join us again for Dead Zone the Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
So, you're listening to the Dead Zone Podcast, and if you find us funny and you enjoy our sense of humor and you think that you'd like a little more entertainment, please visit us at Vinland Old Time Radio. Found where, Rob?
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.